Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin Samach Gimel. We're back on Samach Beis. We're going to start today on the bottom, Samach Beis Amud Aleph. We are involved in a lengthy sugya of the Gemara. The sugya itself covers about a daf. The Gemara yesterday discussed and debated the following issue. A person is over the Avodah Zarah, but not because he has any real belief or credibility within the Avodah Zarah itself. It's simply a function of the fact that he likes a person, he has a lot of respect for a person, or he fears a person, he has a tremendous amount of anxiety regarding a particular person. And so he bows down to the Avodah Zarah, either out of Ava Yira, but again, not Ava Yira of the Avodah Zarah itself, but because of a person. So is that going to be considered a violation of Avodah Zarah? So Abai and Rava debate this issue. Rava says that he's Pater, he's not going to be Chayv Misa, and Abai says he's going to be Chayv. So basically the way it comes out is that for Abaye, in order for a person to believe to violate the issue of Avodah Zarah, he has to believe in the Avodah Zarah. And without the belief, and I know it's kind of hard to gauge, but the belief is really somewhere lying within the heart. But without the belief, the person's not going to be considered Oved Avodah Zarah. Mashenkin, according to Abaye? That's according to Rava. Thank you. Sorry. So according to Rava, the liability only comes with a real belief in the deity. On the other hand, according to Abaye says no. Abaye says, look at the person. If he's bowing down to Avodah Zarah, so he's Chayef. So that is the simplest way to explain Abaye and Rava. And when I say the simplest way, meaning that's the way the Gemara presented it. If you remember the very beginning of the sugya, so Abaye says, Abaye Merchayef HaPalcha. Abaye says he worshipped the Avodah Zarah. And for Rava, no. In other words, you have to have belief behind just the action of worship. Okay, and what we did over the course of yesterday's daf is we spent all day yesterday basically going over a number of brisas. Most of them are supportive of Abaye's position that just a simple action itself is going to be considered a form of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara defended Rava throughout. Yesterday we went through a lengthy discussion, and quite frankly it was complicated, as we were looking for a scenario in Avodah Zarah, which we would call yesterday Shigigas Maisa. And the Gemara concluded, however, that after all said and done, we could find example Shigigas Maisa both for Abaye and according to Rava. And this is where we left off yesterday. So, according to Rava, what would be a case of Shigigas Maisa that we were looking for from yesterday's daf? So the Gemara's conclusion, and this is where we ended off yesterday, is Balmer Mutter. An example of Balmer Mutter would be with the person thought that Avodah Zarah itself was Mutter. Again, it's an egregious error in terms of an understanding of the Torah. It's just a very simple understanding of the Torah. But okay, that falls under the category of Shogeg. And as a result of that, that would be an example of Shigigas Maisa. Tivshot. The Gemara continues. This is where we left off yesterday. Five lines from the bottom of Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Tivshot debai minei Rava mirav Nachman helen zev zeb yado mahu. So the Gemara says, now there was a question asked in the Gemara in Shabbos. What if a person had a helam, an unawareness of zev zeb? What does that mean? So by Shabbos, what it means is the following. As we learned in yesterday's daf, by Shabbos, so there are two things that one could forget. One is that he could forget that today was Shabbos. Two is that he could forget about the malachos. So if he forgets that today is Shabbos and he does numerous malachos, so how many carbon chatzos does he need to bring? So we discussed yesterday. One. Because really it's all rooted in the fact that he forgot that today was Shabbos. Masha Enkin, if he forgot about each one of the malachos, he knew it was Shabbos. But if he forgot each one of the malachos, so then he'd be chayv on every single malacha because of the concept that we went over yesterday called chiluk malachos. That the malachos are distinct and differentiated from one another. What if, this is now the Gemara's question, the Gemara in Shabbos, what if a person was helam zeb zeh uvezeh? What if A, he forgot that today was Shabbos, and B, he also forgot about the malachos as well. So he had a temporary lapse of the entire concept of Shabbos and also the fact that today was Shabbos as well. So how many carbon chatzos does he need to bring? So your choices are going to be either we're focusing on the helam, on the unawareness that today was Shabbos, or we're focusing on the helam that he forgot about all the malachos as well. If he forgot just today was Shabbos, that's one malacha. I'm sorry, that's one carbon chatas. If he forgot about all the malachos, that would be a chatas for every one of the malachos. Answers the Gemara, Tivshot. So the Gemara, I'm sorry, Helam Zev Zebiado Mau. So Tisha Denechai Velacha. So based on the Gemara's discussion from yesterday, based on the Bryson yesterday, it seems pretty clear that in the scenario of Omer Mutter, where he totally forgets about, now understood that in this Gemara we're talking about Avodah Zarah, and the question was principally asked by Shabbos, but it's the same basic idea, meaning he forgot about the totality of the Isser, and he also forgot about the details as well. So what are we focusing on in terms of his requirement to bring a Karban Chatas? So from yesterday's discussion, it seems pretty clear that he brings only one Karban Chatas. To which the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. So halo kasha v'tifsha. So the Gemara says, that's right. And we'll answer the same thing regarding Shabbos. If a person violated Shabbos in many different ways, with a lapse of both the day and the malachos, so then he's only going to bring one Karban Chatas. So the Gemara says now, what did we do yesterday? So again, without reviewing everything that we did yesterday, we tried to take the psukim in Parashas Vayikra. When I say psukim, I really mean pasuk. I really mean two words of the pasuk, if you remember yesterday's daf. And we try to set it up that not only could it be applied to Shabbos, but it could also be applied to the karbanos that are brought for Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara now points out that that's very difficult. Really setting up these psukim that it applied to Avodah Zarah is very difficult because in relationship to what the karbanos are going to be brought, by those violating Isur and Bishogeg. So if you are a Kohen, you bring a bull. If you're a Nasi, you bring a goat. If you're an individual, you bring a female sheep or a female goat. And meanwhile, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, everyone is in agreement that there's only one singular carbon that's brought, or one type of animal that's brought, and that's Se'ira. And the Gemara points out that that is universal, meaning even though we had a debate in yesterday's daf, whether or not you need Helam Davar as it relates to a Kohen by Avodah Zarah, right? That was a machlokas we saw in the Bryson yesterday. Despite the fact that we had that debate, there is no debate regarding the type of animal that's brought. The animal that's brought is Seira. So to take now the psukim in Vayikra and apply to Avodah Zarah is very difficult because the psukim in Vayikra talk about differentiated karbanos. Meanwhile, by Avodah Zarah, there's only one karban that's brought, which is the Seira. Vesulo midi, and the Gemara says, and you know what? There really is nothing more to talk about it. I mean, you can't apply the psukim of Achas Mehena towards the Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara says, and really there's nothing more to discuss on this matter. And when the Gemara says there's nothing more to discuss on this matter, so now, as far as Chiluk Malachos are concerned by Avodah Zarah, it is not being derived from the Psukim in Vayikra, and rather it's being derived from the fact that the Torah set aside Hishachavaya, like we said in yesterday's Gemara. And the truth of the matter is that there is no way that a person can be doing multiple acts of Avodah Zarah and be chayv only one Karban Chatas. And again, going back to where we started yesterday, where Rabbi Zakkai brought in this Bryson, the Bryson says that a person does Hishachavaya and Zivuch and Kitur and Nisuch, and he's only going to be chayv one Karban Chatas. So the Gemara ends up saying, no, it's just impossible. Meaning there's no way to defend that Braisa. And the Gemara concluded now that Sulamidi, there's nothing more to talk about. There's simply no way to defend that Braisa. Ki Aser of Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar. Okay, the Gemara now, as we turn to Samach Beis Amad Beis, the Gemara now, Hachi Tana Kamei. This is what was Rabbi Zakkai taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning, we now have a second version of how exactly the dialogue went between Rabbi Zakkai and Rabbi Yochanan. Essentially, structurally, it's the same thing. Meaning, a brisa was brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan's patently going to reject it. That part remains unchanged. It's just a question now of what the brisa is, and for what reason is it going to be rejected. So here comes now a second version of the dialogue. Chomer b'Shabbos mishar mitzvos. Chomer b'shar mitzvos mi b'Shabbos. So the Braisa works in a standard refrain that comes from Mishnayos and Braisos, and that is a comparison. We are going to compare Shabbos to the rest of the Isurim of the Torah, and we're going to do the inverse as well. And the Gemara goes on to explain. And that's the Brisa goes on to explain. You see, by Shabbos, we have this idea of chiluk malachos, which means that if I violate multiple malachos, let's just say two for our purposes. Let's say a person violates two different malachos on Shabbos, he's going to be chayv, a carbon chatos for each one, because of this concept of chiluk malachos. That's not true by other Yisurim. Now, the Brisa does not clarify, what other Yisurim are we talking about? Stay tuned as we're going to try to fill in that blank. Now, as it relates to Shar Mitzvos, so when it comes to Shar Mitzvos, so if you were Shogeg below Kavana, so you were both unaware and you had no intent, so you're going to be Chayav Karman Chatos. Masha'in came to Shabbos, but that's not true regarding Shabbos, where if you are Shogeg and you have no intent, you're not going to be Chayav a Karman Chatos. Again, what are we talking about over here? So stay tuned as we're going to try to fill in that blank as well. Okay, Amar Mar. So, we have so far a Brisa. We know the Brisa is making a comparison and pointing out that there are chumras by Shabbos that you don't have by other Yisurim. There are chumras of other Yisurim that you don't have by Shabbos. That part we have clear. What is certainly not clear is what are exactly the details. We're going to get a little lost in the details, but we need the details, otherwise we're not going to understand the Brisa. So let's try to uncover now what exactly the Brisa is referring to. What exactly are we talking about when we're talking about the multiple chatos comparison? So, by Shabbos, the Gemara says, I'll give you a simple example. The person did two different malachos. He was kotzer, one of the 39 malachos, harvesting, and it was tochein, grinding. Two different malachos on Shabbos. What would be the parallel by Shar Mitzvos? So the parallel presumably would be, he ate chelev adam. The Gemara has to find two examples that are kares yisurim, because we're looking to bring a carbon chatas. So chelev adam, two consumptions that come off of an animal that are both kares bearing yisurim. To eat the blood of an animal, to eat the chelev of an animal, are both yisuri kares. And presumably, the Gemara says that's the parallel example. But that's a problem because hacha b'tarti mechayev, v'hacha b'tarti mechayev. Good, says the Gemara. It's a wonderful parallel. There is no difference in halacha. In halacha, if a person violates two different malachos, chayev two karmen chatasis. If a person ate chelev adam, chayev two different karmen chatasis. So we are right now still looking for pshat in the Brisa. Ela gabi shar mitzvos deinu chayev ala achas, hechidam idacha chelev v'chelev. So let's work the other direction. What would be an example where you'd be chayv only one carbon chatos for multiple actions if the multiple actions are repeated actions? So, for example, I ate chaylev followed then by eating chaylev. Fine. Now let's move that over to Shabbos. I harvest and I harvest in one state of unawareness. Again, the Gemara says we're going to run into another wall because there, I'm chayev one carbon chatas in the multiple chaylev eating. I'm also chayev only one carbon chatas in the multiple katsira. All right, so we get stuck on that side. V'hainu damalei poktani lavra. And now the Gemara says, and now you understand when Rav Yochanan hears the Brisa, he cannot make heads and tails of the Brisa. And that's why Rav Yochanan says to Rabbi Zakkai, you and the Brisa can go outside the Beis Medrash. It doesn't belong here. It is just simply incorrect. It does not have any support. My Kushya, the Gemara, now is going to try to defend the Brisa, despite the fact that Rav Yochanan rejected it, but the Gemara is going to make an effort. So, Dilma Lola Mem Lacha Davik Zir Vitchina, Mashain Kibishar Mitzvahs, Aslan Lavos Kochavim, Kid Rabbi Ami. So the Gemara says, maybe the intent of the Brisa is like this. Shabbos, harvesting and grinding, two different malachas, and therefore you're going to have two different karbanos. As far as Shar Mitzvos, maybe what the Brisa means by Shar Mitzvos is not general, other mitzvos, but maybe it's referring to Avodah Zarah. And maybe it goes back to the point that we made in yesterday's daf, that by Avodah Zarah, if you do different Avodahs to the Avodah Zarah, Behalam Echad, so you both bow and offer an animal to the Avodah Zarah, so at least according to Rabbi Ami, you're going to be chayev only one Karban Chatas. The Amar Rabbi Ami Zivech Vekita Venisech Ve'alam Echad Eino Chayv Ala Achas. So the Gemara says, at least according to Rabbi Ami, you're only going to be Chayv one Karban Chatas. So, We have now a way of setting up the first part of this brisa. Where do we find that by Shabbos it's multiple carbon chattises and by other Isurim it's only one? So we're going to find it if we're comparing Shabbos to Avodah Zarah and only if we subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Ami. But at least now there's a way of explaining the first part of the brisa. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, but now let's move on to the second half of the brisa. So you see, what we love doing is that we love keeping things consistent. If the first half of the brisa is a comparison between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, second half of the brisa also should be a comparison between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Here comes the problem. So, Chomer b'shar mitzvah shebishar mitzvah shagig b'lo miskaving chayav. So in the second part of the brisa, we're talking about shagig b'lo miskaving. It was an inadvertent act with no intention whatsoever. Now, what does that mean? Again, as it relates to Avodah Zarah. So, Shagig b'lo miskaving avodah kachav me'echidami. Could you give me an example of being unaware of Avodah Zarah and non-intent by Avodah Zarah? And again, the point is that they're going to be liable. The Gemara says, we don't have a case either. Thinking the building was the Beis HaKnesses, bowing to the Beis HaKnesses, turns out it's some Beis Avodah Zarah. You're not going to be chayev, libel shamayim. Even when you're bowing down to the shul, like we explained yesterday, you're not really bowing down to the shul. You're bowing down to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's shochin b'makom. He's there. So So you're not going to be chayev. And even if the place turns out to be a base of Avodah Zarah, that's not Avodah Zarah. That act of bowing is not Avodah Zarah. Ela dechazan darta v'sagi lei. So the Gemara says, you saw a statue of a king, you bow down to the statue. E kabla la balaha mezidu. V'lo kabla la lo klumi. Now, if you accept it upon yourself as an Avodah Zarah, you're bowing down to it because of its power, you think that it has some sort of power, so then you're going to be chayiv. That's called Avodah Zarah. And if you do not accept it as an Avodah Zarah, it's nothing, meaning it's not an action of Avodah Zarah. So, Elami Avavira. So the Gemara says, oh, you know what it must be? It must be talking about where you bow down, but you bow down Mi Avavira. Again, like we're going to say, like Rashi. We said from the beginning of the entire sugya, we're saying like Rashi, you don't really believe in this God. You just happen to have a tremendous amount of either fear or respect for somebody else to the degree in which he wants you to bow down to that. So you do so in order to find favor or because you're scared of a certain individual. So the Gemara says that would be an example where now it's shogeg, meaning it's inadvertent, meaning you certainly had no intention to violate Avodah Zarah, and there was also no kavana, meaning your intent was not to be over to Avodah Zarah. So we have now, seemingly, both an example of shogig and a lack of kavana. So the Gemara says that works out according to Abaye, because Abaye puts this under the category of Avodah Zarah. So at least now we understand the brisa according to Abaye. There is an example by Avodah Zarah where it's shogig, there's no kavana, and you're still going to be chayev, and that would be the example of bowing to a god, bowing to an idol, Me'ava Me'ira. But according to Rava, it's not Avodah Zarah. So according to Rava, it's not Avodah Zarah. So what would be the example of the Brisa? Ela Bomer Mutar. So the Gemara says, well, the example of the Brisa would be an example where he thought it was perfectly permissible. Meaning that there is no, the person says, and I know, this is just rather amazing that somebody can make such a claim, but he thinks, in other words, the person thinks that there's no Avodah Zarah in the Torah, and this is now going to be described as an eino miskaven. I know this really pushes the definition of eino miskaven. This is an unusual way to describe it. But again, we're learning a brisa. We're trying to say pshat in the brisa. And according to Rava, we know we're trying to describe it in terms of Avodah Zarah. So this works as a case of eino miskaven, where the person says that it's mutter to be over Avodah Zarah. Okay. Masha ein kem b'shabbos. So the Gemara says, and now compare that to Shabbos, because by Shabbos, in such a scenario, he would be exempt. Now, in Shabbos, what would be the exact scenario? By Shabbos, where it's Omer Mutter, where basically by Shabbos he says that, look, I totally forgot about Shabbos in the Torah, or the person thinks that there's no Shabbos in the Torah. So under those circumstances, by Shabbos, it's not even a case of shogeg. It's what we would call, refer to as basically case of misasek. I'll explain that better in just a moment. And so therefore by Shabbos he'd be pater altogether. So the Gemara says this is all really difficult. Because ad kan l'ba mine rava mi rav nachman helam zeh vzeh ela ila chiyu v'chada ila chiyu v'tartei pater l'gamer lek l'manda amr. So the Gemara says, do you remember what we did in the beginning of Shir today? Where we had the following question. A person was helam zeh vzeh. Where the person was totally unaware, right? We talked about in terms of Shabbos. We also talked about in terms of Avodah Zarah. He totally forgot about A, the specific Avodahs that a person worships Avodah Zarah, and B, the general concept of Avodah Zarah. He forgot about all that. And what did we conclude on the bottom of the previous Amud? The only question we asked was multiple karbanos or one karban. But those were your two options, right? In your multiple choice answer bank. There was only many or one karban. There was no option of zero karbanos. And the Gemara concluded on the bottom of the previous Amud, yeah, you bring one karban in such a scenario. But you do bring a karban. And by virtue of the fact that you bring a karban means it is a violation of Avodah Zarah. The person was b'shogeg, the person was without kavana, but you certainly bring a karban, which means it is Avodah Zarah. So once again, we ran into another wall. How can you tell me that the second half of the Brice is talking about Avodah Zarah, and the person totally forgot about Avodah Zarah? He even made the almost impossible claim that it's mutter, meaning that the Torah never prohibits Avodah Zarah. That's no different than halam zeh uvezeh, like we described in the previous on the previous Amud. And under those circumstances, clearly the Gemara concluded, you do bring a karban. So it is an Isser Min HaTorah. So what are we? So basically, the Gemara is asking, how can you explain the second half of the Brice in that manner? My kusha. The Gemara says even that. The Gemara says I don't think it's much of a question. Maybe the first half of the Brisa is talking about Avodah Zarah. The second half of the Brisa is talking about Shar Mitzvos. My Gemara has the word hey, but anyway, it's got to be a ches. V'chatach es mechubar. Pater. Okay. So the Gemara now, I know I just read a lot, but I'll explain. Basically, what the Gemara says is, you know what we'll do with the second half of the Braisa? We won't explain the second half of the Braisa in the classic shogeg sense. I forgot about the Isurim. We're not going to explain it that way. But rather, here's how we'll explain the second half of the Braisa. It's case of Misasik. Okay, let me explain. Let's just take a moment to explain Misasik and then plug it into the second half of the Braisa. Misasik is less than Shogeg. What's Shogeg? Shogeg is where you know that something is Usur Min HaTorah, or I should say better, you knew that something was Usur Min HaTorah, and then you lapse into a state of forgetfulness. Meaning, as part of the human condition, we tend to forget. Okay, so even though you knew that Shabbos was in the Torah, it's on the books, but you woke up one morning, you forgot about Shabbos. Shogeg simply means that had you known it was Usur, you would not have done what you did. But you forgot. And you went ahead and you cooked on Shabbos or whatever. Same thing with Avodah Zarah. You knew at one point that Avodah Zarah was Usur. You woke up one morning, you forgot. And you were over to Avodah Zarah. But that means that at that moment in time, had you remembered that it was Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah was Usur, you of course would have stopped. Shogeg speaks to this idea that the only thing deficient right now is my state of unawareness. The fact that I've temporarily forgot that something was awesome. That's shogeg. What's misasik? Misasik is even less. Misasik means that the action I'm doing right now, I know about Shabbos, I know it's awesome, I know about malachos, I know about everything. I think what I'm doing right now is perfectly permissible. Let's go over an example, which happens to be the Gemara's example, so it fits in well. Let's go over a simple example. Before Shabbos, you go out to the field, and you cut some cucumbers out in the field. Fine. The next day, you go out to the, and you don't bring them in. Remember, they didn't have refrigerators back then. What would be the point of bringing them into the house? And then, Shabbos morning, you go out into the field, and you pick up your cucumber. Just happens to be that the cucumber you picked up was not the one that you cut, but it happened to have been one that was connected to the ground. That's an example of misasik. The action you're doing, you thought was perfectly permissible, and then it turns out that it was usher. But your intent was not to violate Shabbos. You, in fact, went out of your way to not violate Shabbos, but whatever.
Is it accidental also or no?
Now, when you say accidental... Right, that would be right. You're right. You're standing next to the light switch, and then you lift your hand up to scratch your head. You hit the light switch. Okay, that's right. That'd be another example of misasik. Yeah, that's misasik. Right. That's not right. That's not shogig. Shogig means that you forgot that it was Shabbos, or you forgot that it was usher. And again, with a simple reminder, of course you wouldn't have done it. A misasik, I had no intention even to violate the malacha. I knew about everything. I just had no intention to violate the malacha. And in terms of liability, it's less than shogeg. So now what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows, as a pshat in the second half of the Braisa. You see, when it comes to misasek, as it relates to Shabbos, you're totally off the hook. No liability. No death penalty. Not even a carbon chatas. Nothing. There's simply no liability when it comes to misasek. Now let's take that same idea and apply it to, now not Avodah Zarah, because it doesn't work by Avodah Zarah, but now let's take that idea and apply it to something like, for example, eating chalev. Okay? Chalev is one of the Yisurim in the Torah. We just discussed it yesterday. We discussed it again already this morning. It's the forbidden fats of the animal. This is the fats of the animal not within the meat of the animal, obviously, not within the muscle of the animal that we eat all the time. We're talking about the hard fats that line various organs within the animal. So so a person by accident eats such a fat. Now, when I say by accident, I'm not talking about shogeg. Shogeg means that temporarily he thought that it was okay to eat. He forgot that it was usher. We're not talking about shogeg. We're talking about misasek. An example of misasek, the Gemara here gives an example where let's say the fat was melted down. He saw some sort of liquid. In other words, fat usually is not in a liquid form. Usually it's in a solid form, but it was heated up. It was now in a liquid form. And he didn't even know it was chalev. And what he did is, he put it in his mouth, and he swallowed it. So, it's an example of misasek. Here comes an interesting point. By chalev, and by rice as well, I know that's not, I didn't use that as the example, but by chalev and by arayos, so if you're misasek, and you consume the chalev, even though you didn't mean to, you had no intention to violate the Issur in the Torah. You knew about the Issur in the Torah. Had someone told you it was chalev, of course you wouldn't have eaten it. All that's true. But the bottom line is, you got hana'a. You got benefit. Therefore, you're going to be chayev. And that's true by chalev. It's true by anything that gives hana'a. That's why arayos also is included. So by virtue of the fact that you got hana'a, therefore you're going to be chayev. Now, when we look at the second half of the Braisa, now we could say a pshat in the second half of the Braisa. We do have a pshat. In that, how is it that other Yisurim are going to be more chomer than Shabbos? Very simple. In a case of misasek. When a person eats chalev bin misasek, he's chayev. When a person violates Shabbos bin misasek, he'll be pater. Now we're saying a pshat in the second half of the Braisa. So what do we have right now? An entire Amud of Gemara, from the top to the bottom of this Amud, where basically we have a Braisa, it's really difficult, but when all is said and done, we do finally have a pshat. Just quickly to recap, the first half of the Braisa that says that Shabbos is more chamer than other Isurim, we're going to plug in Avodah Zarah, we're going to go according to the Shita of Rabbi Ami, who says that a person who does multiple Avodas of Avodah Zarah, Behel HaMecha is only chayv one Karban Chatas, so now, Shabbos, if I violate two Malachos, I'm going to be chayv two Karban Chatas. Avodah Zarah, where I violate different Avodas for the Avodah Zarah, I'm only going to be chayv one, according to Rabbi Ami. That's the first half of the Braisa. Second half of the Braisa, where other Isurim can be more chamer than Shabbos, in the case of Lo Miskaven actually means Misasek. And we're now in the second half of the Braisa, we're comparing Shabbos to Chalev. By Shabbos, in the case of Lo Miskaven, you're going to be Pater. In a case of Chalev, in the case of Lo Miskaven, and again, Lo Miskaven is understood as Misasek, I'm going to be Chayev. That is right now, after a full Amud of Gemara, the Gemara's understanding of the Braisa. Just give me 1 second, I'm sorry. So, she's coming like Bezatos, Chatachat Samachuber Pater. Uchid Rav Nachman, I read this. I'm Misakzik B'Chalav Mirayaz Chayev. Shekein Nena. Ha Misasik B'Shabbos Pater. Melech is Machsheva Sasur Torah. Fine. Now, all this is wonderful, and Rav Yochanan still picked up Rabbi Zakkai and the Braisa. I'm being a little bit dramatic in the way I'm describing it, and threw them out of the base medrash. Okay, fine. Just a little bit dramatic. He did throw them out of the base medrash. Just, you know, didn't pick him up. But threw him out of the base medrash. Now, as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, he thought of all this, and he still ejected him from the base medrash. Why? Gemara goes on to explain. Rav Yochanan tami delam mukim asnisa reisha b'chaytaima v'sefer b'chaytaima. So Rav Yochanan doesn't like this kind of interpretation of Braisa, where we have a difficult Braisa. Okay, here's what we'll do. First half of the Braisa, we're comparing Shabbos to Avodah Zarah. Second half of the Braisa, we're comparing Shabbos to Chalev. The Braisa is one stream of thought. The Braisa should be interpreted only in a manner in which what we're comparing Shabbos to is the same thing in the first to the same thing in the second half of the Braisa. And Da'am Rav Yochanan Mandi Mintagin Lechavis Aliba Dechatana Movlina Mani Basre Lebe Masusa. The Gemara in Bar Mitzia had a difficult Braisa. Without getting into the details, you want details, I encourage, look at the Rashi, second to last Rashi, on the Amud, where Rashi goes through the entire Machlokas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yishmael, regarding the returning of a stolen item. I'm not going to go through it right now. I apologize. But, in other words, there was a Braisa that, and that it was hard to take a side of who this Braisa follows like. And basically what they did is struggled and they tried to give order in the Braisa, an explanation in the Braisa. But Rav Yochanan patently rejected it because in order to say a pshat in that particular Braisa, so he had to line up the first half of the Braisa in one case, the second half of the Braisa in another case. And Rav Yochanan says, I do not like that. In other words, keep the Braisas consistent. If they can be kept consistent, I accept. If they can't be kept consistent, I don't accept the Braisa. I just reject the Braisa. And that's what's happening over here. And that's why Rav Yochanan, despite the fact that there is a somewhat complicated way to explain the Braisa, Rav Yochanan doesn't want to hear from it.
In terms of together, you said that there's an anah from it, but also in the case of cucumber that you pick up, if you have an anah from it, that's also should have...
But the malacha is not eating the cucumber. The malacha is picking it up from the ground. So the violation of Isser comes with you picking it up. The chaylev, the iser, is eating it. But that's after the action. The action point on Shabbos is picking it up. The hana that you receive is going to be at a subsequent point in time. So we're looking at the time where the Torah forbids it. When chaylev, the Torah forbids it at the point of eating. The point of eating is the point of hana.
Okay. No penalty for accidental happening, like
the light switch. No karmen chatas. No. Okay, it's misasik. Okay, Gufa. We are now turning to today's daf, Samach Gimel, Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to go back to a statement to Rabbi Ami, one that we already saw twice in yesterday's daf. We get to see it now again. Amar Rabbi Ami, Ziveach, the Keter, Venisech, Be'alamechad, Enochai, V'alachas. A person either shechs or burns or pours wine for an Avodah Zarah, does these multiple Avodah's activity for an Avodah Zarah, in one state of unawareness, he's only going to be chayv one carbon chatas. Amar Rabbi, my time at the Rabbi Ami, Amar Kral, Losa Avdeim, Hakas of Asim Kulam, Avodah Achas. So this is now the first time we actually get to see an explanation of Rabbi Ami, although Rashi brought this down in the previous Amud, and that is that the Torah says Losa Avdeim. All those actions are going to be bundled and filed under one pasuk in the Torah, and therefore it's only going to generate one carbon chatas, even though he did multiple actions. So the Gemara says, now Abaye, in explaining Rabbi Ami, the Gemara says, can we look at Abaye for just a moment? Abaye, you don't agree with any of this. I know you don't agree with this. Why? Because how many times does the Torah prohibit bowing to an Avodah Zarah? Three times in the Torah, Rashi, Lo Sishachav Alam Da'aser Sadibros, Ki Lo Sishachav Alachair, in Kisisa, and Lo Sishachav Alohehem, in Mishpatim. So, as far as the fact that it also says not to bow in the Dibros Achronos, and the second Dibros, the one in Veschanan, Rashi says, Da'adurika Mahadale Moshe Yisrael, Mashashama B'Sinai. That doesn't count because that's just Chazara. Meaning that's, even though it is another Pasuk, but the second set of the Aseres HaDibros is viewed as just simply a review of the first set. But still, there are three psukim, not counting the second Dibros. There are three separate psukim in the Torah that talk about not bowing down to an Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, why do I need it three times? One time I get. three times. Achas lekedarka, v'achas shelo kedarka, v'achas lechalek ledvarav. I'm sorry, v'achas lechalek. So, explains Abaye. One is to tell me that there's an issur in the Torah of bowing to an avodah zarah when that's the normal way to do so. One is to tell me that there's an issur of bowing down to an avodah zarah even if that's not the normal way to do so. And finally, achas lechalek. And one to tell me that the avodos of avodah zarah are all individualized, differentiated. So that means that if I do multiple avodos, I'm going to be chayav alkol achas v'achas. Just like we discussed in yesterday's daf, when a person violates multiple malachas on Shabbos, he's going to be chayav alkol achas v'achas. This is all aliba da Abaye. So what is Abaye doing explaining Rabbi Ami? The Gemara says very simple. L'dvarav de Rabbi Ami kamer v'leilo svirole. He's explaining Rabbi Ami. He doesn't agree with Rabbi Ami? Okay, so he doesn't agree. But still, in other words, he's taking the time to explain Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami is a shita. He is a, it's a valid opinion. And it deserves an explanation. Abaye gives it. And even though Abaye himself doesn't subscribe to it. The Gemara revisits the statement of Abaye that we just got done saying. And the Gemara is bothered by a simple question. I have three psukim as it relates to bowing down to an avodah zarah, and the first one's to teach me that if this is the normal way to worship the avodah zarah, bowing down to it would be asur. The Gemara says, "Likadarka me'echa yavdu hagoyim ha'ela nafka." We already have a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that tells us that if this is the normal way in which you serve the avodah zarah, doing so results in a violation of avodah zarah, and now. The Gemara says, Abaye, how can you tell me that the first pasuk of Ishtachavai is telling me about Kedarka? We already know about Kedarka. Anytime you mimic the normal way the Avodah Zarah is worshipped, that's a violation. So, Ela, Achaz, Kedarka, Vishalok, Kedarka. The Achaz, Lashakadlo, Kedarka, Vachaz, Lachalik. So the Gemara tweaks Abaye just a little bit. So here's what we're saying now. If the Avodah Zarah is worshipped exclusively with bowing, and you bow, you violated the Isra in the Torah of Avodah Zarah. But we don't learn that from the Pasuk of Yishtachavaya. We learn that from the Pasuk in Re'eh. Echa yavdu ha-goyim ha-eila. However they worship it, you're not allowed to do it that way. That's Kedarka exclusively. Now we get into the Pesukim of Abaye, where in one Pasuk of Abaye we talk about where it is not the exclusive way the Avodah Zarah is worshipped. Sometimes Yishtachavaya, sometimes other manners. That's what the Gemara means when it says, Kedarka Ushalo Kedarka. Meaning, it's not the exclusive way that it's worshipped, but still. The first Pasuk is coming to tell me that Ishtachavaya in of itself is going to be a violation of the Torah, and it will be a capital crime to bow down to this idol, even though bowing is not the exclusive way in which it's worshipped. Two, the second Pasuk is telling me, Shalo Kedarka. Even if it's not the way at all, you're going to be chayiv. And I know, once you know two, you already know one. I do follow that point, but that's two. And three, lechalik, like we said earlier, it differentiates all the different avodos. So if I do a bunch of different avodos, be'alam echad, I'm going to be chayav al kol achas v'achas. Continuing in the Gemara. Hamakabal Allah beloha ha'omer lo eli ata. Okay. We go back to our Mishnah on Samach Amud Beis. The Mishnah introduced us to Avodah Zarah, the Isser of Avodah Zarah. So we already discussed the first couple lines of the Mishnah. If you look back at Samach Amud Beis, Ha'ovid Avodah Zkocham Ve'echad Ha'ovid Ve'echad Ha'mizabech Ve'echad Ha'mekata Ve'echad Ha'menasech Ve'echad Ha'mishtachaveh. Okay, so we discussed at length now, and Samach Aleph, Samach Beis, up until this point in time, the first number of lines of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah went on to say, Ha'mekablo Alav La'loha, Eliata. You accept this idol as a god. You declare to be your god. These are also going to be. Violations of Avodah Zarah. Even just the verbalization. If you look back at Rashi on the Mishnah, Rashi writes. I know I'm going back, but Rashi writes. Va'afilo amir ba'alma. Kagon ha'omer lo eliata di itkish lezvicha dichsiv veishachelo vizbechulo vayamru ela lo elokecha Yisrael. Rashi cites the pasuk in by Cheta Egel, where in the pasuk in Cheta Egel you have two actions that are placed side by side, zvicha offering a carbon to the Avodah Zarah, in this case the Egel, and two, the declaration, the verbal declaration of Eila Elokecha Yisrael. And let me say it better, by the way, because I said Elokecha a couple of times. Correction. Eila Elohecha Yisrael. So, by virtue of the fact that the Torah puts these two ideas side by side, that means that a verbal declaration of an acceptance of an idol is tantamount to Zvicha, and they're both going to be Isur Min HaTorah of Avodah Zarah. Now, with all that stated, we turn to our Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abarvu, Amar Rav Kevinch, Amar Lo Eliata, Chayev. Once you make the verbal declaration, you're going to be Chayev. Lema'ila Ketala Masis and He. Now, that's very good, but what is Rav coming to teach me? If he's coming to teach me that this is going to be a capital punishment, I have the Mishnah already. I don't need Rav on something that the Mishnah already taught me. And Ela LeKarbon, Vafil LeRabbanon. So the Gemara says, oh, must be talking about a carbon chatas, and we're going like the Chachamim. V'atanya enuchayv ela al davashesh bo maisa, kegon, zibuach, v'kitur, v'nisuch, v'ishtachava. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? For a carbon chatas, the threshold for bringing a carbon chatas is that you had to violate an action. You do not bring a carbon unless there's an action point. Which, by the way, just interesting. In other words, trying to wrap our heads around this idea that we have an Isser in the Torah where if, with a warning and with witnesses, it will result in a capital punishment, but if done b'shogeg, is not going to result in a carbon chatos. Okay, I'm just noting, it's the obvious conclusion of the Gemara here, is that sometimes you have an action which results in a capital punishment, but not necessarily a carbon chatos. There are different standards and thresholds in terms of when you have misa versus when you have to bring a carbon. In the meantime, what we're just learning together now is that you're not going to bring a carbon chatos for just a verbal declaration. So, Amar Yishlak, V'Amar Yishlak, Shmantan Yishlachava, Rabbi Akiva, Damar Lo Bina Maisa. Now, who is the author of the opinion of Yishtachavai? That's Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva does not require a Maisa. Mechlal Durabban Savri being a Maisa. That means that according to the Chachamim, you do need a Maisa. So the Gemara says, Ki Kamar Rav Nami, Ila Rabbi Kiva Kamar. So the Gemara says, while Rav was describing and discussing the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Ala Rabbi Kiva, Shita, Haina Megadev. So the Gemara says, well, I know that because Rabbi Kiva is Chayv Karban Chatas for Megadev. If a person blasphemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shogeg, I know that sounds strange. I understand. But if a person blasphemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shogeg, so according to Rabbi Kiva, it's going to bring a carbon chatas. Now, Giduf, of course, does not involve any action whatsoever. That is strictly verbalization. So if by Giduf, Rabbi Kiva is going to be chayv HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shogeg, if he does a b'shogeg, he's certainly going to be chayv HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Hishtachavaya. And Hishtachavaya, by the way, even though it's considered inaction, at least you're bending your body. At least you're doing something. Okay, so it's granted not strenuous, but right, very good. I hear you. So, but they're both considered not enough action to, at least according to the Chachamim, to warrant an Isser Kares. So I'm sorry, a Chiyuv Karban Chatas. So the Gemara now is saying, but if we're going according to Rabbi Kiva, it seems to be obvious. The Gemara says, I could strike a distinction between Giduf and Avodah Zarah. By Giduf, the Torah actually says the word Kares. So therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, even though there's no action, still by virtue of the fact that the Torah says the word Kares as it relates to Giduf, so therefore one would be Chayv HaKarban Chatas. Masha Enkin over here, by Avodah Zarah, the Torah doesn't mention the word Kares, and therefore I might have thought that according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not going to be Chayv HaKarban Chatas if you do so b'shogeg. And we go back to the pasuk that we just cited in Rashi, and that the Torah equates Zvicha to Amira, and just like by Zvicha, one would be Chayv HaKarban Chatas. If done b'shogeg, same thing is true with Amir as well. Amar Rav Yochanan Amar Levav Sheba Aluchin is Chayv Hashem Shei Yisrael Kalaya. The Gemara goes off on a small tangent, where, as long as we quote the pasuk by the Avodah Zarah, the Gemara notes, thank God, listen, we were over the Avodah Zarah. It's not good. But thank God, when we said the word, you took us up, we used the plural, right? To quote the pasuk the Gemara just quoted, Vayomru Eila Elokecha. The Gemara doesn't quote the second half of the pasuk. Right now, I need the second half of the pasuk. I know it was quoted, right? Eila lekecha Yisrael asher ha'alucha meretz Mitzrayim. Okay, whatever. I'm paraphrasing right now, right? Asher ha'alucha meretz Mitzrayim. Right? We said that you took us up, but we added a vav, meaning you in the plural took us up. So, and if we had not said that, amale vav shebaalucha nischav b'shem sheYisrael klaya, we would have all been destroyed. Meaning, right? The silver lining to the cloud. It's a dark cloud. We were over to Avodah Zarah, we worshiped the idol. But at least we said, you, and again, in English, it doesn't translate well, but you in the plural took us out of Egypt, right, you guys. Right? Ustedes. Thank you. That's very helpful. So, for the Spanish-speaking community. So you in the plural took us out of Egypt. So in other words, we're saying the eagle and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, the silver lining. So the Gemara says, and had we not said that, so then we would have all been destroyed. Kitanai, the Gemara points out that not everyone's in agreement to this idea. So the Acherim say, yeah, just like we just said. The silver lining to the Egel Hazav is that at least we still included Hashem in crediting who got us out of Egypt. No, even though they took HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they attached it to the idol, this is what's called Shituf, right? And by the way, this lends to the major debate in terms of the debate of the Rishonim, not a modern debate. The debate of the Rishonim in terms of whether or not Christianity is included in Avodah Zarah or not included in Avodah Zarah, it's Shituf, meaning you're taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're attaching it with some other force, and is that considered Avodah Zarah, yes or no? Don't look to me for an answer. The Rishonim already debate this very issue. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Kol hamishtatev shem shemaim v'dava acher nekam in olam." So when you do that, it's an akira, should be uprooted from the world. So that by virtue of the fact that we said you in the plural took us up, and if we were making reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Egel, that would be the worst. Not wouldn't make it better; would actually make it worse. Shenemar bilti l'ashem levado elamata olam rasher alucha sheivu elahus harbe. When we said you took us up in the plural, they actually were not including Kadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, what they were looking forward to was other forms of Avodah Zarah, meaning the Egel and other idols as well. Currently not here, but other idols to be named, player to be named later, if you will. Sorry. Anyway, okay. Let's stop here. Let's just quickly recap. Okay. Finishing off yesterday's daf. The Gemara went into a lengthy discussion about a braisa, in which when Rabbi Zakeh presented Rav Yochanan threw him out of the Beis Medrash. On the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf, we had one version of how the braisa went. On the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, we had a different version of how the braisa went. In either result, Rav Yochanan took him and threw him out of the Beis Medrash, or threw the braisa out of the Beis Medrash, as it simply was no way to explain it. And then we learned at the end of yesterday's daf, we did this morning, is that Rav Yochanan is not open to the idea of giving multiple scenarios in a single braisa. In order for a braisa to work, you need to give it a consistent case scenario in both the first and second half of the braisa. That is the only way Rav Yochanan regards and learns up braisas. The Gemara went over the question of multiple avodas for an avodah zarah behelam echad. Chayv one carbon chatas or two or multiple carbon chatases. Again, Rabbi Ami says one carbon chatas, but it seems that the Gemara's consensus is that we don't agree with that based on Abaye's drasha, the three times of Yishach Havai is mentioned in the Torah. And then we started the second part of the Mishnah on Samach Hamid Beis. We talked about an acceptance, a verbal declaration of accepting of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is an Issa Daraisa of Avodah Zarah. It does come with it the death penalty of Skila. It just happens to be that because there's no maisa involved, it's just a verbalization, so therefore you wouldn't be chayv a carbon chatas. Rabbi Akiva would be chayv a carbon chatas, but we who do not subscribe to Rabbi Akiva in this regard would not be bringing a carbon chatas.